Hello. So, we're on the air. So good to see everybody. So we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava, and we're going to go back to Bhagavad Gita on the 13th chapter again. So we are approaching the 93rd chapter of our study of the Bhagavad Gita. So we've done 93 sessions so far, including today. That's like 3 months of sessions. Each session is about an hour and a quarter, so that's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. And we're only up to the 13th chapter. After we finish the Bhagavad Gita, which will be next lifetime, no, which will be pretty soon, hopefully, then we're going to go on to the Nectar of Devotion and do a thorough study of the Nectar of Devotion. Okay, so let's chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bharadhaudi Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bharadhaudi Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Ranhu Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bharadhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bharadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parvatikacharya Asatara Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chanana Dvaktabhananda Gosami Srila Prabhupad Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai Namacharya Srila Pinas Thakur Kijai Param Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shivani Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premilanda Hari Hari All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya. Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachami, Nibhisesas, Nidhivari, Vashyatati, Shatari. So, Om Magana, Timidanda, Shag, and Anjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, and Meditan, Yenitas, Mai, Shigarveda, Maha. I offer my most humble, respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So let's go ahead to the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita, and we are on text 25. Here we go. So we'll start. Give me one second. Dhyaninatmani pasyanti kechidatmanamatmana anye sankyena yogena karma yogena chapare. Janena, by meditation, atmani, within the self, pasyanti see, kechit sam atmanam, the supersoul, atmana, by the mind, anye, others, sankyena, a philosophical discussion, yogena, by the yoga system, karma yogena, by activities without fruit of desire, cha, also, apare, others. So in translation, some perceive the supersoul within themselves through meditation, others through the cultivation of knowledge, and still others through working without fruit of desires. So these are different methods of coming in contact with the supersoul. You just meditate, that's a very long process, and others through just trying to study the Vedic literatures, or actually it's described in the verse, engage in Sankhya. Remember what we talked about when we talked about Sankhya? Sankhya, the word means to count. So it means the analysis of all the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, the active senses, the perceptive senses, the mind, and ultimately coming up to the point of the soul and the supersoul. So these are the analyses of the material energies and coming to the conclusion that there is more than meets the eye, so to speak. There is more than the material energy presents itself to us, and that more is the soul and supersoul. And others, still others, through working without fruit of desire, in other words, working for Krishna. The Lord informs Arjuna that the conditioned souls can be divided into two classes as far as man's search for self-realization is concerned. Those who are atheists, agnostics, and skeptics are beyond the sense of spiritual understanding. But there are others who are faithful in their understanding of spiritual life, and they are called introspective devotees, philosophers, and workers who have renounced fruit of results. So what's an introspective devotee? Introspective means to look in oneself, or into oneself, and analyze. We're not just talking about the material elements and the perceptive senses and the active senses, but analyze your motivation. Analyze what your desires are. Analyze the reason for different activities or different choices you make in life. Analyze it with the intention of defining what is spirit and what is matter. So, those who always try to establish the doctrine of monism. Now, monism means it's all one, we're all one, there's just energy, or we're all God, are also counted among the atheists and agnostics. There's a difference between atheism and agnosticism. Atheism means ain't no God. Agnostics just say, well, I don't know, you know, I don't believe in God, and I don't disbelieve in God. Show me. So they're a little better. In other words, only the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are best situated in spiritual understanding, because they understand that beyond this material nature are the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded as Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone, the all-pervading Godhead. Of course, there are those who try to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by cultivation of knowledge, and they can be counted in the class of the faithful. The Sankhya philosophers, and we actually talked about this before, analyze this material world into 24 elements, and they place the individual soul as the 25th item. When they are able to understand the nature of the individual soul to be transcendental to the material elements, they are able to understand also that above the individual soul there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the 26th element. Thus, gradually, they also come to the standard of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Those who work without fruitive results are also perfect in their attitude. They are given a chance to advance to the platform of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Here it is stated that there are some people who are pure in consciousness and who try to find out the Supersoul by meditation. And when they discover the Supersoul within themselves, they become transcendentally situated. Similarly, there are others who also try to understand the Supreme Soul by cultivation of knowledge, and there are others who cultivate the Hatha Yoga system and who try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by childish activities. Oh my God. In other words, those who don't really understand the Ashtanga Yoga system, those who think that the Ashtanga Yoga system or Hatha Yoga system is simply a system of exercises which you can do anywhere without any question of restrictions. As we hear from Patanjali, the Eightfold System of Hatha Yoga starts with restrictions. That's called Yama. First two principles of Hatha Yoga are Yama and Niyama. Niyama means certain things you do, you know, principles. And Yama means things you don't do. Like, for example, in the Krishna Conscious Movement, things we don't do are what? Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. And there's reasons for those. And the interesting thing is, if you do those things that you don't do, that you're not supposed to do, you do the don'ts. That's interesting. Then what happens is you get to see the king of Yamas. Who is the king of Yamas? Yamaraj. Anyway, I think we've already described who Yamaraj is. He takes care of you when you leave your body if you're not following the Yamas. So next verse. Anye tvevam jananta shrutva nebhya pasate tebi chaiti taranjeva richum shruti parayanaha. Anye, others too, but evam thus jananantaha. Without spiritual knowledge, shrutva, by hearing, anye vyaha, from others, upasate, begin to worship, te, they, api, also, cha, and, ati, taranti, transcend, eva, certainly, mrityum, the path of death, shruti, parayanaha, inclined to the process of hearing. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. And perhaps this is the best methodology. There's a statement in the Bhagavatam, Shushushro Shradanashya Vasudhi Vitaruji Shan Mahatsevya Vipra Punyatirta Vishemanat, that one who hears with faith from the proper person, Vasudeva Gata Ruchi, the talks about Vasudeva, talks about Krishna, that person gets Ruchi. Ruchi means a taste for hearing and chanting. Sanmahat Sevya Vipra, such a great soul, is understood to be performing the topmost pious or spiritually pious activities. Hearing. As we know, there's 9 processes of devotional service. And the first one is hearing. Second one is chanting. Third one is remembering. And all the 9 processes are dependent upon hearing from authority. So who is an authority? Someone coming down in the cyclic succession from Krishna himself. Okay. And because of their tendency, and this reminds me also of Prabhupada's position and relationship with his spiritual master. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said about Prabhupada, "I have marked him. He likes to hear." And there's that famous example that when devotees were on pilgrimage in Vrindavan with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there was one temple the devotees were going to that evening. It was a Shiradakshai or Karanadakshai or Garbhadakshai Vishnu temple. Anyway, it was a temple of Vishnu, and this temple, I've been there actually, it has Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma coming from Vishnu's navel. All the demigods are present there. It's a very beautiful deity. So there was an announcement made that anybody who wants to go see this deity can come with us tonight. And if anyone stays back, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be here. So practically almost everybody went to see the deity. But guess who stayed back? His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was able to converse with his spiritual master and hear from his spiritual master. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur marked Srila Prabhupada or understood that Srila Prabhupada liked to hear. And there was one famous verse that Srila Prabhupada wrote as a Vyas Puja homage for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that really struck Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as indicating that Prabhupada knew his heart and mission. And that verse was, "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast moved." And what does that mean? The absolute truth has senses. And you, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, have removed for the benefit of the whole world the impersonal understanding that the absolute truth has no senses, has no legs, has no arms, and is not a person. And that's a calamity which has been removed by your grace. And Prabhupada understood that this was actually one of the main activities and points and principles in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preachings. So, purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Actually, that's practically the first thing I heard Prabhupada say. In 1971, Prabhupada came to this little tiny university town in Gainesville, Florida, and Prabhupada gave a lecture. And one of the first things he said in that lecture is that you have so many departments in this university, but there is no department of spiritual knowledge to determine what is the soul, where we have come from, etc., like that. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. So sometimes people who have too much materialistic knowledge, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, materialistic knowledge can make one as foolish as an ass. They become covered up by that pride in their knowledge. Therefore, we have the four types of people who don't approach Krishna, if you remember from the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvedha Bhajanti Mant, four types who don't approach Krishna, Namam Duskrutino Mudha Pravachante Naradama, Ayaya Pritagana Asurama Abhamashutam. So, of those four types, those who are proud of their education fall under two of the categories. Ayaya Pritagana, that those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and then Asurama Abhamashutam, those who are atheistic by nature. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his or her position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. Mm. And actually, Lord Chaitanya one time quoted from a verse in the Bhagavatam when he was instructing a Brahmin in South India. I believe the Brahmin was Kurma Brahmin. Anyway, this Brahmin wanted to give up everything, just take sannyas and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, quoting in the Sanskrit, stani sitam shutikatam tandvan manovir. Just remain where you are. Don't try to speculate. Don't think you're going to become more Krishna conscious by leaving your family or taking sannyas. That's not the mood. But stay where you are and engage in the process of hearing and chanting. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him in a very interesting way. Not only did he tell him, just stay where you are, don't come with me, don't follow me. That's all, not all that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him. He said, Yari Deka Tarikar, Krishnupadesh, Amara Gai Guru Hoi Tore Desh. You should become a guru and instruct whoever you meet. That's an interesting instruction. So the whole point, the whole way to become Krishna conscious is to chant, hear first, and chant for the benefit of others, which means also explain Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others and bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. That's the point. We should always be thinking of bringing more and more souls. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason we have buildings. That's the reason we breathe. That's the reason we eat, is to bring people to Krishna's lotus feet. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps. That doesn't mean imitate him. It means follow in his mood of devotion. One will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. That's a simple process. Follow a pure devotee, you become a pure devotee. Doesn't take any brains. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not capable, as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. So that's really the point. Faith. You understand? And Krishnanda Gita says, what is it? Asharanana purusha dharma shasha parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mitu samsaravartmani. He says, those who don't have faith in this process of devotional service, then basically they repeat this process of birth and death again and again, samsara vartmani. That means the path of repeating birth and death. So faith is very important. And if one is a faithful person, it doesn't matter how much brains the person has or intelligence the person has. Because that person will come to Krishna. As Krishna says in the Gita elsewhere, Bhakjumam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvata, that I can be known only by bhakti, not by jnana, not by karma, not simply by acquiring knowledge, and not by working, but by love. Krishna can be known only by bhakti. And you get bhakti from Krishna's devotee. That's why we say follow in the footsteps of Krishna's devotee and serve Krishna's devotee. Krishna's devotee gives bhakti. We were talking today about the super soul. Does the super soul give you bhakti? No. This is my heart. Why doesn't he give me bhakti? Well, the super soul gives you several different things. It was an interesting discussion we had today. 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes Matak Smritir Jnanam Apoanachan. The super soul gives you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to your desire. So if you desire to forget Krishna, super soul says, okay, here's the intelligence. How do we get Krishna? Take it. Take it now and enjoy. And if you're desiring to remember Krishna, the super soul will give you intelligence to remember Krishna. Or the super soul will give you intelligence to find a guru. You know, if one finds a bona fide guru, it's not by accident. It's by accident, you know, I happen to run across Guru Dave. No. No accidents. It's not by accident. I ran into Prabhupada. But I heard Prabhupada on the radio. It was all the transcendental arrangement because I was ready. I was praying to God to show me the way to serve him. I was practically constantly praying to God. Don't think that God won't do that, won't show you. And the way he shows you is not that he generally appears before you and says, hey, buddy, here's the way to serve me. The way he shows you is he sends guru. It's just magical. No, not really magical. But it's like mystical. The guru comes, you know, knocking on your door. Hello, I'm Guru Dave. No, not quite like that. But Krishna sends. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. By the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. Next verse. Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam stavata chandamam kshetra kshetradya samyogat tadvidi varitashiva yavat, whatever sanjayate comes into being, kinchit, anything sattvam, existence, stavara, not moving, jangamam, moving kshetra of the body, kshetradya, and the knower of the body, samyogat, by the union between tadvidi, you must know it. Bharata Rishabhav, chief of the Bhartas. Oh, chief of the Bhartas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Now, for those of you who don't remember what that means, the combination or the activities or the knower of the field or anything like that. So the field of activities is this body. Got it? And the knower of the field is us. Now, there's more to it than that. If you take the field of activities in the larger sense, that's the whole universe. And the knower of the whole universe is Krishna. And Krishna is also the knower of this body, in addition to our soul being the knower of this body. And Krishna knows a lot more about this body than I do. For example, I do not know what is happening in each and every cell of my body. I do not know what is happening inside my heart. I do not know what is happening inside my stomach. I do not know what is happening, practically anything that is happening in my body, except right now I'm sitting in front of a camera talking to you. That's about all I know about this body. And my eyes are open, probably blinking sometimes. I don't even know if that's happening. So I'm not the knower, I'm not the controller of this body. If I was the controller of this body, I would grow my hair again. Not become bald. So I'm not the controller, I'm not the absolute knower of the body, I'm a partial knower of the body. Krishna's the complete knower of the body, and Krishna's the complete knower of all bodies. So the field, in one sense, is this body, in another sense, is all the material energy, and Krishna's the super knower in both cases, and we're the knower in only one of the cases. That's just this body. So that whatever you see is just that. Ain't nothing else. Now here, O chief of the Bhartas, know whatever you see in existence. Because everything we see comes from the body. We're actually not seeing. Well, that's a heavy statement. We're not seeing. There's like my hands are bringing. Am I seeing this hand? No. I'm not seeing this hand. there are some light beams that are photons that are reflecting off of this hand due to some lights in this room, coming through the lens of the eye, reaching to the back of the eye, and then being transmitted through the optic nerve to the brain. And then the brain sort of processes the whole thing. And so, can you actually say, I'm seeing? No, there's some physical things. It's the body, and I'm the knower of the, at least the perceiver of certain physiological phenomena in the body. It's a good explanation. So, purport. Both material nature and the living entity which were existing before the creation of the cosmos are explained in this verse. Whatever is created is but a combination of the living entity and material nature. There are many manifestations like trees, mountains, and hills which are not moving, and there are many existences which are moving. And all of them are but combinations of material nature and superior nature. The living entity without the touch of the superior nature, Without the touch of the superior nature, the living entity, nothing can grow. The relationship between matter and nature is eternally going on, and this combination is affected by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the controller of both the superior and inferior natures. Okay, superior means the spiritual nature, inferior nature means the material nature, but we are the marginal nature. Okay, we can choose one or the other, the light or the dark. That's our choice. That is a fact. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. Everything else is like darkness. This material nature is created by him, and the superior nature is placed in this material nature. And thus all these activities and manifestations take place. So what does it mean? The material nature is created by him? Yes. So the superior nature is the soul. Okay. And also, super soul actually activates this material nature, and therefore you get activities or motion, to say motion to be more precise, and different permutations, manifestations, changes like that. Text 28. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam padameshvaram vinashyats. Equally, Tarveshu and all Bhuteshu, living entities, Tishtantam, residing, Parama Ishvaram, the Supreme, or the Super Soul, Vinashyatsu, in the indestructible, Avinashyantam, not destroyed, Ya, anyone who Pashyati sees, Sa, he, Pashyati, actually sees. One who sees the Super Soul accompany the individual soul in all bodies, remember the two birds and one tree? And who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible bodies ever destroyed actually sees. Simple. I don't think it requires too much explanation. Anyone who by good association can see three things combined together, the body, provider of the body, or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually in knowledge. Unless one has the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished. But actually, it's not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the super soul exist, and they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word, Parameshvara, is sometimes translated as the individual soul because the soul is the master of the body, and after the destruction of the body, he transfers to another form. In this way, he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshvara to be the super soul. In either case, both the super soul and the individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way can actually see what is happening. Pretty self-explanatory. It's almost like the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita again. Samam pashyani sarvatra samavastitam ishvaram nahi nasyat manatmanam Gato yati param gatim. Samam equally, pashansi, and he certainly, sarvatra, everywhere. Samavashtitam equally situated, Ishvaram, the super soul, na, does not. Hinashti, degrade, atmana, by the mind, atmanam, the soul, tata, then yati, reaches param, the transcendental gatim, destination. One who sees the super soul, equally present everywhere, in every living being, does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. In other words, once you're aware that the super soul is everywhere, observing everything, and you understand you cannot get away with anything, then you control your mind. Why do you control your mind? Because if you don't control your mind, thinking, feeling, willing, you ultimately give in to what your mind is dictating for you to do. Remember the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Oh, someone remembers. Jayato Vishal. Punzam Sango Steshupa Jayate Sangat Sangjayate Kama Kama Krodha Vijayate. What is that? When you contemplate with the mind something, some sense object, some course of action, some relationship, you get attached. You try that sometimes. Try contemplating something and see if you don't get attached. But if you don't think of it, you won't get attached. Or if you think of something else automatically, then that thought, or original thought, will dissipate. So if someone meditates, thinks there's something, then you begin to meditate on it, or obsess on it. Obsession. Meditation and obsession, I guess, are pretty similar in different ways. You meditate or obsess on it, then you get very attached to it. And then once you're attached to it, you get very lusty for it. And then when you get very lusty for something, then you get angry. Then you get bewildered. You lose your memory. And that's it, buddy. So, we should be aware the super soul is everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. And what is the super soul? He's our best friend. He's equal to everybody. And our business is to turn and face him. The living entity, by accepting his material existence, has become situated differently than in his spiritual existence. But if one, in other words, you identify with your material existence, you know, who am I? Well, I am whatever, you know, Joe Blow. But if one understands that the Supreme is situated in his Paramatma manifestation everywhere, that is, if one can see the presence of the Supreme Personality Godhead in every living thing, he does not degrade himself by destructive mentality, and he therefore gradually advances to the spiritual world. So to see the Paramatma, or Krishna, in everyone's heart means to respect everybody, regardless of what they're doing right now, or what their mentality is like right now. They still have Krishna in the heart, and they're still a devotee. Oftentimes the example is given when we meet someone who is not, at this point, manifesting Krishna consciousness. I'm using that word, manifesting, deliberately, because everyone is Krishna conscious. When we see someone who is not manifesting Krishna consciousness, we think, oh, there is my brother or sister. I just have to remind them of their real relationship. Not teach them something new, but remind them. So if you see like that, see the presence of the Supreme Lord in every living being, you're not going to hate anyone or anything. Because if you hate someone, you're actually hating Krishna. The mind is generally addicted to the sense-gratifying processes, but when the mind turns to the super soul, one becomes advanced in spiritual understanding. Simple. Text 30. Prakrityaiva chakarmani kriyamanani sarvasha yapashyati tatatmanam apartaram sapashyati. Prakritya, by material nature, eva certainly, cha, also, karmani, activities, kriyamanani, being performed, sarvashaha, in all respects, ya, anyone who, pashyati, sees, tata, also, atmanam, himself, akartaram, the non-doer, sahi, pashyati, sees perfectly. one who can see that all his all activities are performed by the body, which has created the material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. So, in other words, I am not lifting my hand. Of course, I'm willing for the hand of this body to lift. It's a little awkward to describe things in that way. But actually, I'm not doing these things. I'm willing for these things. I'm still responsible. But it's not that my soul is directly doing these things. Okay. Purport. This body is made by material nature under the direction of the supersoul, and whatever activities are going on in respect to one's body are not his doing. Not the supersoul's doing. Whatever one is supposed to do, either for happiness or for distress, one is forced to do because of the bodily constitution. Okay. I gotta unpack that one. But you can say, I was just forced to do it because of my bodily constitution. That's if you're not Krishna conscious. But you always have a choice not to give in to your bodily constitution. You have that choice if you have some knowledge. Just like I was speaking to some workers today. You know, we're doing construction, as I mentioned many times before to you all. And I said to the workers, why are you smoking cigarettes? Don't you understand? Every month you're spending $400 or $500 on cigarettes, and it's making you sick. Why are you doing it? And they didn't know it's forced act. And of course, Bhagavad Gita also says, everyone's forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born in the modes of material nature. No one can refrain from action even for a moment. Nahi kaschit shanam api jata tishtati akarma krit karyate yava sadkarma sarva prakriti jari gunan. So, that is true. One doesn't have higher understanding or higher knowledge. They're just forced like a puppet, marionette, to act in a particular way. But for a devotee, we are not forced. We may have some impulses that come because of the bodily constitution, but we have the strength to say no to those impulses. So many impulses come and go, just like Krishna describes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's just like rivers entering into the ocean remains still, hopefully. And so many desires come, and just let them flow. And if you don't get into them, you don't start meditating on them, no problem. The self, however, is outside of all these bodily activities. This body is given according to one's past desires. Can you imagine what horrible past desires we had? To fulfill desires, one is given the body with which he acts accordingly. Practically speaking, the body is a machine designed by the Supreme Lord to fulfill desires. Because of desires, one is put into difficult circumstances to suffer or to enjoy. The transcendental vision of the living entity when developed makes one separate from bodily activities. One who has such a vision is an actual seer. He may be separate from bodily activities, but he also takes responsibility for how his body acts. It's not that he says, I'm separate. It's just the body that did it. That's not me. But you decided to use the body. It's just like someone's driving a car and you get an accident. Said the car got in an accident. No, you fool. You drove the car. Or someone's using a gun and you happen to kill someone. And you say, well, the gun killed someone. Not me. I'm not the gun. But you chose to use the gun. So you're ultimately responsible for whatever you do with this body. Text 31. Yada bhuta patag bhavam ekastam anupashyati tatha hi vasa vistaram rama sampadite tara. Yada, when bhuta of living entities, patag bhavam, separate identities, ekastam, situated in one, anupashyati, one tries to see through authority, tatha eva, thereafter cha, also vistaram, the expansion, brahma, the absolute. Some padyate he attains to that at that time. When a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception, the spiritual conception. So we're seeing that all living entities are not the same person, but the same quality, the same nature, and that there are beings everywhere. Actually, this is similar to the description later on in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes understandings in the mode, the understanding the mode of goodness. He says one sees one undivided spiritual nature. In other words, we're all of the same nature. We're all brothers and sisters. We all have the same spiritual genes. That is the Brahman conception. To see everybody equally. When one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. In the material conception of life, we find someone is a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, a cat, etc. In other words, we have equal compassion for all these living entities, but we may act differently. One thing is that if even an animal takes shelter of us, somehow or other we're given the care of an animal, we're responsible for that animal. That animal has come to Krishna. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. That doesn't mean it all becomes one spirit soul, but the spirit soul is just there. The spirit soul, due to contact with material nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision. Thus being freed from differentiations like man, animal, big, low, etc., one becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. How he then sees things will be explained in the next verse. Wow. Anadipanyagunakvat paramatmayamavhya shirirastopi kontreha nakaroti nalipyate anaditvat. Due to eternity, nugunatvat, due to being transcendental, parama, beyond material nature, atma, spirit, I am this, avyayaha, inexhaustible, sharira, star, dwelling in the body, api, though, kuntiyo, son of Kunti, nakaroti, never does anything, nalipyate, nor is he entangled. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. I mean, the soul is always there, but its consciousness is being reflected through this material energy. Like we've described many times before, a white light is a white light, but when you put a filter in front of it, the white light appears differently. So our consciousness manifests differently because it's being filtered through this material energy. And the whole process of chanting Chaito Dharpana Marjanam is to cleanse this filter away, to clean the dust in the heart, so that one can actually understand the soul. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of this material body, but actually the living entity is eternal. He is not born, and in spite of his being situated in the material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus, he cannot be destroyed. By nature, he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activities. Therefore, the activities performed due to his contact with material bodies do not entangle him. So, let's see if we have... I guess we could read another verse. Yeah. Yatasavragatam sukshmyadakacham nopalipyate savatravastito dehe tatmano palipyate yata as sarvagatam, all pervading sukshmyad, due to being subtle, akasham, the sky, na, never, upalipyate mixes sarvatra everywhere, avastitaha situated dehi in the body, tata so atma, self, nah, never. Upalibhyate mixes. The sky, due to its subtle nature, does not mix with anything, though it is all-pervading. Similarly, sky in this particular sense is the ether, space. Space doesn't mix with anything. Similarly, the soul situated in Brahman vision does not mix with the body, though situated in that body, but the soul is an illusion thinking he's that body, but he doesn't mix with the body. Son, you cannot mix a spiritual entity with something that's material. It just doesn't work. It's of a different nature. It doesn't come in contact with each other. Can't do it. The air enters into water, mud, stool, and whatever else is there, still does not mix with anything. Similarly, the living entity, even though situated in varieties of bodies, is aloof from them due to his subtle nature. Therefore, but he's an illusion, thinking he's not aloof. That's the problem. It's just like if someone's playing a video game. You're aloof, you're different from the character, what you call an avatar, in the video game. But you may be so attached that you are, for all intents and purposes, functioning as one with the character in the video game. And I've seen that many times with young people who are playing video games. They just get so absorbed that they actually feel the pain if their entity becomes shot at or beaten up or something like that in the video game. Therefore, it is impossible to see with the material eyes how the living entity is in contact with his body and how he is out of it after the destruction of the body. No one in science can ascertain this. We're talking about empirical science. There's spiritual science too, but when Prabhupada talks about science, he talks about empirical. Empirical means things that can be perceived with the senses or the extensions of the senses, such as our electron microscopes, such as our telescopes, such as our computers, etc. So, we're going to end here, and tomorrow we will continue with 34 is next. Okay, let me just mark that down. 34 is next. So, let's take some questions. Hold on a second. There we go. And now we will allow you to unmute yourselves. Hold on a second. Okay, who has a question?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Just yeah, a question. I can see you, I can hear you.
You can hear me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a question about how does the soul know that the super soul is communicating with the soul? Or how does the realization occur? How do we know?
Well, the symptoms for the conditioned soul, which refers to just about everybody in this world, is that the super soul is giving intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to what you want. In other words, your desire shapes the type of intelligence and direction you get from the super soul. And one of the ways, you know, is that if you want spiritual life, then Krishna sends his representative. You know, when
right.
You're ready, Krishna sends. It's just like calling someone up on the mobile phone. And you call the super soul, something like that. And the super soul, it says, by the mercy of super soul, or by the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. And by the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. So that's one way you know. And then you have all these different circumstances that appear in your life. And generally, people call them serendipity. That's a fancy word. Maybe you've heard that word before, Lizzie. Wow, it happened by chance. But it's not serendipity. It's actually arranged by the super soul.
Yeah.
So these are different ways that we can know right now about the super soul. And also we know that super soul directs certain other people to come in contact with us because of their desires. So these are, and also to know more about the super soul, we ask the super soul's representative, the spiritual master. Spiritual master is the manifest external representative of the super soul. The super soul is sometimes called the guru inside, Chaita Guru.
Yeah.
Chaita Guru is another name of the super soul. So these are indirect ways of knowing and seeing the super soul. When one is perfectly Krishna conscious, I guess you could see the super soul directly. Although, when one becomes completely Krishna conscious and one's a devotee of Radha and Krishna, then you have Radha and Krishna in your heart instead of Paramatma. Just like our friend, Padma. Yeah.
Maharaj, that remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge is all spiritual. It's not material.
Material. Material and spiritual.
Material and spiritual, okay.
Yeah. Like one desires to forget Krishna, then the super soul gives you intelligence and forgetfulness and everything like that that helps you forget Krishna.
Right, okay.
In the 18th chapter of the Gita, you have a very interesting verse. Ishwara sarva bhutanam radesh arjuna tishtiti brahmayam sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. It says the super soul is directing the wanderings of the living entities who are within this machine, like the material body, which is a machine of the material energy.
Yes,
for everybody. But super soul, the one thing super soul doesn't give you is Krishna consciousness, or is bhakti, let's say.
Right.
He doesn't give you bhakti. Bhakti only comes from bhakti, and bhakti is given by Krishna's devotees.
Devotees.
Especially Radharani and Radharani's associates, or Lord Nityananda and his representatives or associates. So super soul, Krishna and super soul don't give you bhakti. It's Krishna's devotees.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Okay, who else has a question?
I have a question.
Okay, Jeremiah, good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Prabhu. So it revolves around, what is the difference
between... Your voice is breaking up because it's somehow or other.
What is the difference between the self-realized state of Brahman, of which was just explained, when one realizes their body and they're actually aloof from it, and the platform is love. That is the ultimate goal.
Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so what is the difference between realizing Brahman? Well, there's three aspects to Brahman. There's the impersonal Brahman, or just realizing you're not the body, and just realizing you're spiritual. And then there's the personalized representative of Brahman, which is the soul, super soul in everyone's heart. And then there is the realization of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So if someone just realizes they're not the body and Brahman, that's just a step. That's not the complete realization. But at least it's a big step.
And I mean, I you were saying...
go ahead.
Oh, you're done. Please continue.
I would say that 99.99999% of all people, including most so-called spiritualists, have not realized even intellectually that they're not the body. I mean, let's say if you were to go up to one of my favorite personalities who happens to be the president of some country, which I'll remain nameless, and you say to him, you're not the body, Donald. Oh, sorry, I gave his name away. But anyway, son, you're not the body. Could he relate to even that statement? I don't think so. Does anyone think in their wildest dreams that he would even understand what I'm saying?
You never know.
I never will. Not never. Next life he will, because many, many years ago we helped the devotees put together their Ratha Yatra carts in New York.
Really?
Yeah. He gave the property, or he let the devotees use the property in New York City where the devotees constructed the first Ratha Yatra carts. He voluntarily did it. So by that Agyata Sukriti activity, in the future he'll have a shaved head and orange robes instead of orange skin. And then he'll be able to... Sorry about that. Then I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. And then he'll be one of us. Would that be ecstatic?
That'd be interesting to see.
Krishna is very merciful, because even if someone chants his name once, then Krishna begins to accept that person. Like the story of Valmiki. Valmiki was a dacoit. That means he used to kill, maim, and everything. And he started to chant Ram's name meaning, without even meaning Ram's name. He started to chant Mara, which became Ram. And Ram accepted him, and he became a great devotee, the author of the Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana. Another thing about Super Soul, which I was getting ready to say before, but I didn't have time, was that when one becomes Krishna conscious, the specific form that one is worshiping of God, whether it's Ram or Radha and Krishna, becomes manifest in their hearts instead of the forehanded form of the Super Soul. You understand? So in other words, yes, Hanuman, when he tore open his chest, you didn't see like forehanded Vishnu there, did you? I mean, I didn't see. You didn't see. Anyway, when he opened his chest, he saw, you saw, or I saw, or someone saw, or Ram saw, Sita and Ram inside his heart. So if you're worshiping Radha and Krishna, then Radha and Krishna in your heart. Because Super Soul, all the various incarnations of Krishna or expansions of Krishna are the same Krishna. So if you're reciprocating with Krishna in a certain mood, Krishna will reciprocate back with you in that same mood. So, of course, Krishna explains this in the second chapter of the Gita. Yayatam mam prapajante tam sadaiva pajamiham mamavart manavartante manushapartha sarvasaha. That as you approach me or as you reciprocate with me, I reciprocate with you accordingly. So if you are primarily worshipping Lord Nrsingadev, then Lord Nrsingadev is in your heart. But here Nrsingadev, you're outside. Hridayae Nrsingadev. You're in the heart, you're outside. Nrsingamadim Shadaram Prapadev. You're everywhere, Lord Nrsingadev. So a devotee of Lord Nrsingadev has Lord Nrsingadev in his heart. What do you think?
It sounds
pretty cool. So, anyway, so that's my Super Soul is Radha and Krishna.
Hare, Hare. I have a follow-up. That's okay.
That's very nice. And okay, anybody else with a different Super Soul want to volunteer? All right, so who else has a question? Someone else, give someone else an opportunity to...
Hare Krishna Gurudev, this is Swapna speaking.
Swapna, Hare Krishna.
I'm a little confused that the soul is not mixed with the body. Then how come when it leaves, it has a subtle body and it carries the karma to the next life?
Well, first of all, the subtle body is another filter. You have two filters, just like you have a light. You can have two filters on a light. Anybody who's been in the theater, I think Gopal is there somewhere online. You confirm that sometimes there can be two filters in front of one spotlight. Is that right? Okay. Or even three sometimes.
Up to six
filters. So the gross body is one filter that filters the consciousness, and the subtle body is another filter. And so you carry that conception, you carry the subtle body, just like the air carries aromas from one gross body to another. But you're not actually those conceptions. It's just that you're identifying with those misconceptions or conceptions of life. Just like I may identify with the car, I may identify with the clothes that I'm wearing. I may identify with the ashram that I have, but I'm not actually this ashram. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a man. I'm not an American. I'm not, what else? 71 years old. You understand? But I'm identifying with it. Practically 90% of the day, I am identifying with this, but I'm not any of those things. And actually, my soul never mixes with those things. How can my soul mix with the concept of a sannyasi or the concept of a man or the concept of a woman or the concept of a 71-year-old whatever? You understand? It's a concept. It's an upadhi. Okay, let's use the Sanskrit word. Upadhi means a designation. But sometimes we become attached to designations. Just like if I put a label on someone. Actually, we teach this in my empathic communication courses. As soon as you put a label on someone, then you actually see the person through that label. Like if I were to tell some individual who's watching right now, or tell everybody that this particular individual, I'm not looking at anyone, don't worry, this particular individual is as dumb as an ox. Because I have some position, some of you are going to listen to me, and every time you look at that individual, you will think that that individual is as dumb as an ox, right? I'm not looking at you, don't worry. You know, someone's thinking, he's talking about me, I'm dumb as an ox. Anyway, so, but when you hear it over and over again, or at least if I say it, you know, Guru says, you're as dumb as an ox. And that's a designation. And then you see the person through that designation, even though you may be as smart as Einstein, people will see you as dumb as an ox. So that's conditioning. You understand what conditioning is? Like in World War II. I mean, for not World War II. But Hitler in Nazi Germany, he was conditioning people to see a certain way. To see a certain class of people, a certain religion, a certain way. He conditioned them. And so in the same way, we are conditioned to accept these designations. And we are seen in terms of those designations because we've had them implanted in our consciousness, or we're seen, our consciousness has been contaminated by that. And so the whole process of Krishna consciousness, sarva upadhi vinir muktam tatpada dvayana nirmalam, to actually give up all these upadhis or designations. And even psychologically, the best way to relate to people is to not see them as designations, but to see them as thinking, feeling, willing entities, even if you're not a spiritualist. Just like the problems, actually all the problems, practically all the problems in the world is because we see people as material designations. That's why Prabhupada would always talk in a negative fashion about the United Nations. I was listening to this class today. Prabhupada said previously there was something called the League of Nations. That was before World War II. And he said, what good do they do? And said, Prabhupada says the United Nations, there's so many flags. How are they united? They don't have any ground for being united. You know, what unites them all? Their own self-interest, which actually divides them all. There's nothing that unites them. So Krishna consciousness, we have the opportunity to be really united. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanapashati sarva bhutesha chatmanam tatodna vidyagupshate, to see everybody as part and parcel of Krishna. And that's not a designation, that's the truth. But the problem is, we're seeing white, we're seeing black, we're seeing Chinese, we're seeing Japanese, we're seeing Korean, we're seeing male, we're seeing female. That's the problem. This is one of the things that really struck me, that convinced me to join the Krishna Conscious Movement, because Prabhupada and the Vedas, and the Bhagavad Gita, of course, had the answer to all the world's problems. Our problems, our relationship problems, are all due to these designations. Right? So we give up the designations. Yeah, we give up the designations, there's no more relationship problems. Of course, we also have to be free from selfishness. I mean, anyway, but basically our problems are due to these designations. These designations are upadhis, and we carry the upadhis with us from one lifetime to another, and we're given a gross body that fits the subtle body, the body of desires, in our next life.
Thank you.
That's pretty happy. Okay, thank you for the question. Okay, we're going to end now. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. It's good to see so many nice, smiling faces. Some of you were smiling, at least. Not everybody. Some people look like the last time they smiled was 2 years ago. But anyway, so everybody's in smile. Smile in the whole world. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. Krishna consciousness is meant for being happy. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His divine grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai.